Earth and Sky.
Well, I was interested in ice just because I liked pretty glaciers on mountains. But the reason that we seek public funds to study ice sheet is their direct impact on sea level. The fact that as ice sheets shrink, and they are shrinking, sea level is going up. And that affects about 2 billion people on the planet who live on the coastlines of the various continents.
You're listening to NASA glaciologist Robert Ben Shadler, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Ben Shadler uses images from satellites in orbit, along with core samples taken from ice sheets and glaciers, to study Earth's dynamic ice. Jeremy Shear spoke with Ben Shadler about what these ice sheets can reveal about climate in the past and in the future.
What kind of ice are we talking about here, and where is this ice?
Well, when we talk about ice sheets, we usually refer to the two biggest ice sheets. These are big masses of ice that sit on land. Sometimes that land is above sea level, sometimes it's below sea level. Antarctica is the biggest one. The Greenland ice sheet is the other ice sheet. So Antarctica is in the southern hemisphere, and Greenland is in the northern hemisphere between Canada and northern Europe.
And so when we talk about ice sheets shrinking, is this a direct result of global warming?
It's primarily effect of global warming. We know that every time the Earth has gotten warmer, ice sheets shrink. So we know we're on that path. And what we experts are trying to find out is how rapidly is sea level going to go up due to ice sheet shrinkage and where.
I want to ask some questions about the relationship between studying ice sheets and learning about the climate. How do you examine ice sheets to find clues to what the climate was like in the past?
Ice sheets are really good for telling us what our climate has been in the past, primarily through the extraction of ice cores. We actually drill a sample of ice all the way through the thickness of an ice sheet, and then we read like layers in a layer cake, what the climate has been on the Earth in years past. And we can go back. We're still looking for that million-year-old ice, but we're getting quite close to finding it.
And so when you look at these layers, what do you actually see that tips you off as to what the climate was like 20,000 years ago, say?
The beautiful thing about ice sheets is that as they form, snow falls and that snow compresses into ice. And in the process of that transformation, it traps particles of air that are direct samples of ancient atmospheres. So once we drill an ice core, we can carefully extract that ancient air and analyze it for its chemistry.
I see. So and so by measuring those chemicals, you can tell what the temperature might have been thousands of years ago, if it was colder or hotter than today?
That's another parameter we get is temperature. And that's a proxy indicator that we tie to something called the isotopic composition or isotopic ratio of oxygen. There's two different types of oxygen, and whether it's a heavier form or a lighter form is directly tied to temperature. So by measuring that isotopic ratio, we get a proxy indication of temperature in the ancient, in times gone by.
So can ice sheets also help us to predict climate in the future?
They can. We often say that the key to the future is the past. And by analyzing how the climate has changed in the past, we get at least a sense of how climate can change by knowing how it has changed in the past. So it's one of the lines of evidence that we follow to be able to predict future climate.
So let's talk about the present. How is global warming affecting the ice sheets now, today?
In the Antarctic Peninsula, there are large platforms, plates, if you will, of floating ice 200 meters thick. And we see these ice shelves disintegrate, sort of one after the other, moving southward on the peninsula. And the tie to global warming is that we see large meltwater ponds on these ice shelves, and that water infiltrates cracks, and because water is heavier than ice, it actually drives the crack all the way through the ice shelf, essentially chopping it up in place. And then quite quickly, those blocks of ice float out to sea. They tip over and they float out to sea. From space, it looks like the ice shelf exploded. And that's a direct consequence. We also see in Greenland a lot of melting around the edge of the ice sheet in summertime. And that water collects into streams, sometimes quite large streams, but ultimately it finds a crevasse or a hole called a moulon, and it disappears into the ice sheet. And we've been able to infer that it gets all the way to the base of the ice sheet and lubricates the base of the ice sheet against the rock, reduces the friction, the ice sheet goes faster, and discharges ice back into the ocean more rapidly. Those are two of the major influences we see that we in changes in the ice sheet that we can tie directly to warming happening right now.
So projecting out 10, 15, even 50 years, what do you think will happen?
There will be less ice. And the most recent report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change used some fairly sophisticated, but for ice sheets, not complete models of what was going to happen. They predicted in the worst case, sea level might go up 2 feet. We think that's an underestimate. The experts who understand ice sheet dynamics better, characteristics not in these models, expect the number will be substantially higher. And we're comfortable expecting 1 meter rise, 3 feet rise in sea level by the end of this century.
And is there anything we can do at this point to stop or reverse the melting, or is this simply something that's happening and we'll just have to deal with it?
I think because much of the warming that we will experience over the next few decades, we can slow, but we can't reverse on that time scale. Also on that time scale, we should anticipate an increase in sea level. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but it will be one of these very gradual effects. And it makes sense to me to plan for that by future development, keeping it farther and farther back from the coast.
That was Robert Benshadler, chief scientist of the Hydrospheric and Biospheric Science Laboratory at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. He was speaking with Earth Sky's Jeremy Shear. This podcast was made possible in part by NASA. Explore, discover, understand. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.